Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word, and may they lead us to your living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you once again to Father Paul for his warm welcome this morning and invitation to preach. It's really good to be back here with you at St. Cross once again. The Samantha Harvey Booker Prize-winning novel, Orbital, follows a day in the life of six astronauts who are living and working on the International Space Station. It's a very short book, but in it, Harvey powerfully explores the emotions and experiences of six very different individuals who are travelling some 17,500 miles per hour around the world for 9 months, who have been thrown together in confined spaces and in extraordinary circumstances. Yet for all the strangeness of the situation, there are some remarkably ordinary issues faced too. Headaches, muscle spasms, the heartache of missing graduations, birthdays, anniversaries, an unexpected bereavement, finding happiness, humour, and hope in their newfound floating family. It is a beautiful work and a profound meditation on some very Advent-appropriate themes of light and darkness, of reverence and radiance, of speed and stillness, of death and of heaven. Currently, an abridged version of Orbital is available as a podcast on BBC Sounds. And if that's something you're used to, sounds like your sort of thing, then you could do an awful lot worse this Advent than getting yourself a mug of something warming, a pair of earphones, and listening in a spirit of meditation. Now, as you might expect in a book set in the heavenly realms, there is an infusion of wonder and awe on offer. There is a moment when the aurora borealis, the northern lights, become visible from the space station. Across the globe, a shimmering hum of rolling light of flickering, quavering, flooding light, and the depth of space was mapped in light. All six were drawn moth-like to the windows. Remember this, each of them thinks. Remember this. Travelling amongst the constellations give a sense of humanity's true smallness, that we are sailors on a ship in a dark, unswimmable sea. As they rotate around the Earth, the astronauts observe sunrise and sunset some 16 times a day, an accumulation of light and dark once every 90 minutes. It sounds glorious, but it also brings a sense of disorientation with it. Waking becomes restless and sleep dreamless. Both are impossible for a time-drugged brain to manage unaided. The regular reality of drifting and drifting through infinite space soon becomes depressing. After all, the only time that the astronauts feel gravity is on an exercise bike, cycling to nowhere. Yet, for all these extraordinary themes, the moment of the book which has stood out for me most is in some ways a slightly odd and unusual one. One of the scientific tasks of the mission is to monitor the physical effects of zero gravity on 40 caged mice who have been brought along for the journey. But for the first few days, the mice simply cannot comprehend what is going on, and so they respond by holding helplessly onto the bars by their tiny paws. Harvey's words, vicariously spoken to the mice, are these: life is short. Be bold. Let go. That image of the mice holding on to the bars has stayed with me. And I wonder if perhaps many of us might identify with it, especially in this season of Advent. As we look afresh at our lives through Scripture and through the liturgy, perhaps we become acutely aware of any cages we might be trapped inside. We can be caged by guilt or regret, by shame or by sin. We can be caged by our working lives, rushed and hectic, with looming deadlines to meet before the holiday begins. We can be caged by relationships that are in desperate need of repair or renewal. We can be caged by financial anxieties, caged too by a guilt that Christmas might not be all we had hoped or dreamed. And above all, we can be caged by a spiritual weariness which is formed by trying to fit everything in, trying to be the brightest and the best, but also to find the time and the space to make our hearts ready for Christ's coming again. There are so many cages we can cling to, bars inside which we can so easily drift along with a dizzying disorientation, with a profound powerlessness. And yet, life is short. Be bold. Let go. In John the Baptist, we have some vision of what that might look like. In him, we find boldness. Whatever else anyone might have thought of him, John was and is undeniably bold in his appearance, in his speech, in his actions. In John the Baptist, too, we see letting go. John's whole life, maybe, was a letting go of expectations and reputations, not least his own. it would lead him to unpopularity at best, to death at worst. But for John the Baptist, only two things mattered: the word and the wilderness. Before once he had heard the word of God, John began to speak truth to the powerful and the powerless alike. He began to preach repentance, to proclaim forgiveness, even when people did not wish to hear it. John found the wilderness to be a place of promise, tinged with transformation. In the wilderness, mountains would be leveled, valleys would be lifted up, and the rough ways would be made smooth. But notice that the wilderness was not simply a remote or isolated location. John's wilderness was found among people, in the outcasts, in those regarded as the least, the last, the lost. John sought out those who most needed to hear the word, those who were most ready to receive the coming Christ, after whom nothing would ever be the same again. Each Advent, year by year, we are confronted and challenged as the people of God with a truth. The truth that our hope is the word, that our home is the wilderness, or at least it should be. For the call of Jesus, he who is the word made flesh, leads us to seek goodness, grace, glory, hope, healing, holiness, now in the time of this mortal life, before we are raised to the life immortal. The draw of the wilderness ever abides in us too, for our home is to be the margins, our call to those on the life, on the edge of life and faith, to seek places of silence and places of prayer too. Let this be the starting point, or perhaps the returning point, for each of us in this holy season of Advent. Orbital ends with Kay, the scientist on board, looking on the monitor and discovering that a miracle has happened. After a week, the mice finally find their space legs and are now flying in circles around the cage like tiny floating magic carpets. And it looks like joy. It looks like joy. There are so many cages we find ourselves inhabiting, be they mental, physical, or spiritual. But even when they feel familiar, even when we cannot think of life without them, remember this. Remember this. Life is short. Be bold. Let go. Like John, seek the word and embrace the wilderness, and it will look like joy. Amen.